Moving to page 68 of the agenda, I think, dealing with the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee. Now, folks, this somewhat preempts the committee debate we're about to have, but it's assuming that there's going to be some transformation of the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee. And if that happens, it's a bit silly to insist upon what we agreed at the beginning of the term, that certain people be on that committee for the remainder of the council term, because they'll be on a committee that doesn't exist. So, if you really want to, we can add it, we can postpone it till after we've done with the committee stuff, but otherwise we can proceed with this amendment, which carries forward, I should say, the current personnel until the new People and Culture Committee would commence. So I move, Councillor Pfeiffer. Councillor Crossland seconding. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously this time. And on page 69 of the agenda, there's a similar issue in relation to the Strategic Directions Committee. So this is, in a sense, a transitional transitional provision, because it brings the Stratcom to an end in November this year. Moved, Councillor Valescu. Or question?
That's the end of November or sometime in November?
It could be in a more specific, could be moved in a more specific manner, perhaps?
Well, happy to say put,
the end of November?
I'm happy to put the end of November,
I mean, is there any more meeting of the Stratcom scheduled after October? No. Oh, I see. In the previous resolution, had appointment of certain people until November 2015. So, but it would make sense to say the end of 2015. So, if somebody would like to move it in that form, that would be fine. Councillor Valescu, second, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we turn to discussion about new committees. I know I've got some questions, and others may. Councillor Pfeiffer has declared a possible conflict in relation to part two, but I would invite Councillor Pfeiffer, I mean, he can leave any time he wishes, but until that matter's discussed, it may be appropriate. It is at least permissible to stay in the room. No, I think Councillor Pfeiffer wants to leave to make sure there's no problem, so he is departing the chamber. Councillor Hutchinson?
Yeah, I'd like to move just point two by itself initially.
Very well. That's moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood seconded. This is to reappoint Lou Owens to the what will become the Finance and Audit Committee if the subsequent motion is passed. Any other speakers, or any speakers at all? All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. So I'd invite Councillor Pfeiffer to re-enter the chamber as we've dealt with that issue. Thank you to my Deputy Mayor. That was a sensible way of dealing with it. Now, this is one of those where there are a few little angles and tangles. We're making a big decision to set terms of reference for the various committees. So, I'll allow a fairly liberal question time before we actually start moving motions.
I was going to move suspension.
Yeah, moved suspension of formal proceedings for pro tem for the time being. That's seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So we can have a bit more free-flowing discussion. If I could just take the Mayor's prerogative and ask a couple of questions. One thing that I haven't understood is the necessity for support to be provided in the way it is. So initially, members, looking at page 78 of the agenda, we're looking at the Finance and Audit Committee policy as proposed, and I realise that this is a continuation of the way we do things at the moment. 4.13, the Manager Governance will provide administrative support to the committee and will attend all committee meetings for this purpose. I'm simply putting the question to staff, why wouldn't that be the Manager Finance, for example? I mean, why wouldn't you have someone who's aligned with the work of the committee? But happy for, I don't know who would like to respond.
Through the Chair, the work of the committee is certainly across the finance and also the governance department. The agendas are worked through in conjunction with one another, so it could be either or.
Mr. Mitchell, do you want to comment? No? With that? Okay, well, that's, if members want to do anything with that, they can. Councillor Pfeiffer?
On that same point, is that just a little bit restrictive, being tied to the actual position? So if the individual, in this case Kate, is crook or off on leave, saying the manager governance actually attends is within enshrining it within policy seems a bit.
Technically, you'd be right, but I think what would happen in practice is that the nearest or the person acting in the position would include that as part of their duties, and so no real problem. Ms. Jarrett agrees. The other question I had was in relation to the appointment of expert members to the committees. So I refer to page 87, clause 5.21, as part of the People and Culture Committee proposed terms of reference, and I see that the appointment of expert members to committees, the panel which is selecting will be supported by the manager governance. And I just question why that wouldn't be the manager HR, since the actual function is to possibly deal with the recruitment firm, arrange interviews, take part in interview panel, and prepare a report. They seem to be HR functions more than anything else. So it's just a question, why would we have manager governance rather than manager OD or HR? Councillor Gard's got a comment.
I was just wondering, that there's a little bit of a thread here that certainly governance probably needs to be mentioned because it's not as clear that it would give administrative support compared with the corresponding department for that committee. And I'm just wondering whether we could introduce that as a generalisation, that administrative support be given by the corresponding department to that committee and the manager of governance.
Oh, well, Councillor Gard, the question only arises in those two places I've mentioned.
Okay. Well, even to that end, though, because I was just thinking on your previous point that the finance department or area is likely to give administrative support, surely, to the audit and finance committee. Shouldn't that raise a mention?
Can I take that as a question? I mean, do finance not attend and support the audit committee?
Through the chair, certainly finance attends every audit committee meeting, but as Ms. McKenzie has already stated, the audit committee covers off on all the risk and governance matters of the organisation as well, so it's probably an equal split, to be honest with you.
So in other words, so, is it by logic that we leave it out?
Ms. Jarrett's got a comment?
Okay, yes, thank you, through the chair. We could certainly include in these terms of references that appropriate administrative support be provided to each of the committees, rather than actually identify a specific department or a specific person or a specific role. I think the matter of point here is to ensure that appropriate administrative support is actually provided to the committees, rather than putting it into the one position. If, through the chair, sorry, if I might add, this is probably historical. From the original, and Councillor Telfer may recall, from the original time when the Audit Committee was first established some years ago, because it was new to local government at the time and new to the organisation at the time, and it was considered a governance function in terms of the organising of agendas, the organising of the minutes, those sorts of things, as opposed to a content expert for the matters being dealt with by the committee. So that's where the role of the manager governance has actually come from in terms of supporting the committee, as opposed to it being a technical role.
And may I say that if you look at page 80 of the agenda, we're dealing with the proposed Finance and Audit Committee policy, and it follows straight on from our current policy, I might say. Chief Executive Officer has the responsibility to ensure appropriate support is provided to the Finance and Audit Committee. I think there's such a clause with each committee. So it seems entirely redundant, actually, to say that Manager X, Y or Z should attend, because it's really up to the Chief Executive to make sure that appropriate support is given. If there's a meeting which deals purely with dollars and cents, maybe it should be just finance. If it's all about risk and governance, it should maybe just be governance. But we don't need to be so restrictive, perhaps. Councillor Crossland had a point.
Yeah, I interpreted it as the manager of governance will arrange appropriate support, as in not her personally or one of her particular staff members, but as the person having ownership of organising that support. That was my interpretation.
Oh, well, it does say that the manager will attend all meetings for this purpose, rather than the support attending all meetings for the purpose. So if you take it literally, it's very hands-on. You need to have a manager governance who's a good typist.
Well, if what Councillor Crossan says goes, well, it might make our CEO redundant.
Well, I wouldn't want to go that far. Okay, so look, in relation to insisting that a particular manager support audit and finance, some of the members, what you think about that. But just getting back to my other point about the selection process for the expert members, that's actually a different question, because that's one where there's fairly and squarely an HR function. But the historic practice has been to say, well, manager governance takes care of that. Now, I'm just saying I don't get it. So it's a question for staff to answer. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes, thank you, through the chair. That again is historical, and it dates back to when we first sourced the independent members of the audit committee all that many years ago. And the process that we adopted was that the manager governance provided support to the council in terms of sourcing the independent members for that committee, rather than sourcing independent members. So again, it was more of a role of support to the council and the panel that was actually going through that process of identifying independent members. So certainly it could be anybody, and again, rather than naming a specific person, you could simply apply that the Chief Executive Officer ensures that appropriate support is provided to the panel in sourcing and selecting independent members for the committees.
Well, that's a good point. So what appears on page 80, that the Chief Executive shall ensure appropriate support is provided, that could be replicated and just say for this purpose or this panel will be supported appropriately by the, or appropriate support will be provided to the panel by the Chief Executive Officer. That's probably what it should be. And then it can all be sorted out when the time comes. Do members agree with that? Yeah? Getting lots of nods. Well, at the moment, that second one has been reported. In relation to 4.13, that's the one about the manager providing administrative support, even though there's also a clause that says the chief executive has to. I'd suggest we could probably just do without 4.13 then. Members nodding? Okay. So that would be a straightforward thing. All right. I've got those things off my chest, so it's open to members' discussion. We'll go around the room, perhaps. I know it's unfair, but I'm going clockwise. Councillor Pfeiffer, anything to raise?
Just one minor one, and it is quite minor. In the PNC committee, the strategic issues, infrastructure and urban planning, we have a line in there saying that the presiding member will be one of the elected member representatives. Just a question, and Your Worship, I'm sure you're a very busy guy, but does that include the mayor as well as an elected member representative or not?
It doesn't, because the mayor is ex officio.
Sure.
Which the meaning of that being that the mayor can attend meetings.
Yep.
When he is present, he is a member acting as a member of the committee.
Yep.
But it would be I suppose it would be possible, but it may not be wise to allow the mayor to chair, because I can say the intention of the mayor is to be able to flip back and forth between committees depending on the issues. And remember that we're holding committee meetings concurrently. So it may cause logistical problems.
Point of order.
I have made strenuous efforts over the years to be in two places at once, with some success, but I can't guarantee it.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Point of order.
Your description of ex officio, I don't think will serve you well, because as I remember, I've been through previous councils where the mayor has been part of the committee's system as we knew it, and the mayor had voting rights. If you declare yourself as being ex officio, that it inherently means that you don't have voting rights, which would be not really what you would expect.
I had assumed that there would be voting rights when the mayor's present.
Well, if you don't use ex officio, would suggest you don't have voting rights, but
that's a good question.
That would be my understanding of ex officio. Ex officio is certainly able to be in attendance, but no voting rights.
If members want to, we could put in brackets with voting rights when present. Although, having said that, when you think about it, the committee doesn't make any binding decisions.
That's
correct. So, maybe it doesn't matter. There is. Okay, well, what do other members think just on that specific point?
Yep. Your Worship, if I may. I was on the union board at Flinders University as a normal member, and we had an ex officio staff member. So they were afforded the rights to speak, raise matters, but when a vote took place, they weren't able to vote. I actually think that's a good model for the mayor. The mayor will have several to go to, won't be. I think if we're going to keep it like that, ex officio is fine. And I guess also if people are attending and they're not because they have nothing to do or have an interest in a committee that they're not officially a member of, then they too would probably be ex officio if we want to keep the voting just for the members that are choosing to be on that committee permanently.
2 points to note. Probably the constitution that provided the staff member membership of that particular committee probably said may attend and speak but does not have the right to vote. I suspect it would have been explicit. Relying on no less an authority than Wikipedia, Wikipedia actually agrees with the mayor's view of ex officio, and it says ex officio members will frequently abstain from voting However, unless bylaws constrain their rights, they are afforded the same rights as other members, which include debate, making formal motions and voting. So, there you go. But it's a good question, so we should make it specific depending on which way you want it to be. I've heard one for and one against in terms of a mayoral vote. Councillor Garth?
As to whether, if we're going to mention a term like ex officio, which perhaps needs qualification, or it may not be, well, there's ambiguity, is what I'm trying to say. We need to qualify that if we're going to use it in that respect. Otherwise, really, the term is useless.
Ms. McKenzie? Thank you. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, firstly, just going back to the point I raised before, I'll come back to the ex officio thing in a second, but maybe we should just spell out that the presiding member will be one of the councillor elected members, or words to that effect. I think that's in line with what the Mayor's wishes were. Secondly, in terms of the ex officio thing, let's just delete the words ex officio. The Mayor is a member of each committee, and if he's at the committee meeting, he's at the committee meeting. He's a full voting member. If he's not there, he's not there.
So the easiest way around it may then be to just leave out the words ex officio. Have the Mayor as a member. You need three elected members for a quorum, so there'll be the Mayor and two others, or the Mayor's gone to the other meeting to have the three elected members.
Bang on.
It's my intention to be attending one or the other as they occur while some other members are having a night off. That would work. Other members' views on that particular point? No? Well, I think what we might do then in terms of the motion as it's put, just leave out the words ex officio, and it seems to overcome debate. So, Councillor Pfeiffer, did you have anything else before we go around the horseshoe?
Just the only final thing I think obviously it's open for any other members who are not elected to be part of that committee to be present in the room. I think it should be similar to the audit committee in that, you know, there is maybe a few seats for a gallery or something like that, but not necessarily part of the active discussion and decision making.
Councillor Pfeiffer, the committees by law are open to the public unless they go into confidence for a reason.
Yep.
So other elected members would be in the same category as the public, could sit through every meeting unless there was a confidential item, which I think is a safeguard you always need. Councillor Telfer.
One of the issues that I've raised by email, and also was hoping to raise by an alternate, is page 71, number 10, this issue of the composition of the selected advisory panel that we would have to turn around and get now, and then that advisory panel would do essentially exactly what is in the people and the people culture one, and they would have to do the work early, but it is in the people and culture guidelines that their role is to choose the expert people. So
yes.
It seems to me at odds. I realise that the work would have to be done between November and the end of January so that you had expert panels, but the people and culture group could meet and could sort out those expert members with support, and then they would then begin work with their expert panel member in place. But there would be a quorum, and it seems to me to have some logic to go that way. So
Councillor Telfer, you've come up with some wording?
Yes, they've got that wording. They can show you that. So I put up, endorses the composition of a selection advisory panel as the People and Culture Committee, as selected on October 14, 2015, to source and evaluate the potential candidates for appointment. Now, it's really the members of the committee, it's not the actual committee meeting, otherwise you've got issues, I guess, of starting and timing.
Yes. So you could almost put in there on the first line, as the elected members appointed to the People and Culture Committee.
Yes, that would be better.
Just technically.
Yes.
And that would include the mayor, by definition of the policy, etc.
Then you wouldn't get into timing of the payment as such to new chairs. That would be happening later, but some body of work would be done in advance. Because once that work's done, there won't be any work for a year to do with appointing expert members.
That's right. And but it does make sense for continuity to have those people who are going on to that committee to sort of start the work, do the work initially. If there does need to be a replacement, they're familiar with shortlisted people, etc., etc., and the process. So I can see the merit in that. Yeah. Any other points, Councillor Telford? Yeah. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Worship. Page 84, People and Culture Committee, top point 3.4 is inconsistent with the other committees. I think it was there from a previous draft, perhaps.
Yes, you're right. It was there assuming the mayor would chair, but we can't assume that. So
that 3.4 can be removed.
Unless staff can tell me otherwise. Yeah, it's agreed. That should go. Well done. Good proofreading. Any other points, Councillor Hutchinson? Thank you. Councillor Hull.
Yes. Draw members' attention to bottom of page 81. And this is referring to the Finance and Audit Committee, that internal controls over significant risk, including non-financial management control systems. And then on page 82, the efficient effectiveness and economy of significant council programs and activities. I discussed this today with the CEO. He felt that I had a point, and maybe there can be a point added in there somehow, or at least captured the essence of what I'm getting at. Energy efficiency. It's all very well to pay consultants to give us reports and do reviews, but if we don't embed it in our culture, that an organisation like, or a committee like Finance and Audit Committee, can actually keep an eye on the issue of energy efficiency in terms of the catch-up period that we're going to go through, and also the purchase of new vehicles or new technology and new infrastructure. Yeah. So I'd like to see...
Sorry to cut you off, Councillor Hull. What do other members think? Did we add that as a dot point? Councillor Hull? Valesco?
I think the issues, the significant issues, if we do look to pursue some options for the renewable energy idea that we're having, will come up to the Audit Committee. But I don't believe it's the role of the Audit Committee to further that to the level that it appears that Councillor Hull is talking about. So I just think we don't want to make the Audit Committee do too much. Probably Councillor Pfeiffer could add more to it, having been the longest-serving Audit Committee member.
That's a good idea. Just to be clear, these dot points on page 81-82 are what the programs must deliver. The Audit Committee's role is to make sure that the programs of the internal auditor deliver that rather than analysing the points themselves. But other speakers? Councillor Pfeiffer?
Sorry, could I have that comment repeated? I was just reading the detail of another part of the report and I missed the comment about the Audit Committee there.
Was wanting the Audit Committee to have a bit more hands-on role as far as energy efficiency goes. And whilst there is a financial component, it's probably not the Audit Committee's role to get that involved. They would, I think, through the section 42 or 48, if we were going to do a big spend in that area, they would make that assessment.
Councillor Hull, just another option to think about is to make it an explicit point for the Strategic Issues Committee. Because we haven't really specified it yet.
Well, look, I'm not fussy. As long as there's actually somebody within our organisation that can actually keep an eye on this, because so far I don't think that anybody's been keeping an eye on this particular subject. And you're right, there is a big financial component to it. And in fact, it's going to be revealing when we do start getting some, you know, particularly a level two study done, how much we actually are paying. I don't think for 1 minute, I just want to explain myself if I could, Mr. Mayor, that the Audit Committee is going to be the expert on energy efficiency, but it could be one of the bodies that could actually keep an eye on the progress of not only the assessments, but also the action taken to actually ensure that we are not hemorrhaging.
Councillor Hull, if you look at page 90, the terms of reference for the Strategic Issues Committee, if we added a 5.1.10, probably goes there as well as anyone else, anywhere else, to advise Council regarding opportunities for greater energy efficiency.
Yeah, sure, but I want it as part of our culture that we're actually continuing to keep an eye on it. Not a once-off. This is it has to be embedded in our thinking.
The way I see it, if it's in committee terms of reference, that committee should keep coming back to it periodically, not necessarily every meeting, but periodically. And it's also for the Chief Executive to drive it if it's if it's pushed by Council, which we are doing through appropriate motions. See what I mean?
Well, yeah, look, I'm happy to see that, that basically that committee takes an interest in the subject, for sure.
So is a 5.1.10 added in there now? All right. Is this something we can actually deal with tonight?
Couldn't it be sustainable practices and energy efficiency? So sustainable practices is much more ongoing, and I would like to see that as a 5.1.10 on page 90.
Sure, greater energy efficiency and environmentally sustainable practices.
Yes, the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah, you could even put in what's it called? What's that word? Biophilic. Yes, I mentioned that in Sydney, and they all pondered on that point.
Moving along, any more, Councillor Hull? Councillor Westwood. Oh, Councillor, in a nice way, Councillor Valescu.
I would like somewhere in each of the four new committees, as opposed to the audit committee and the four committees. And I'll just highlight which ones they are, just to make sure. So just please bear with me, Your Worship. I'll get the list of them here. So the Urban Planning Strategic Issue, People and Culture and Infrastructure, somewhere along the line that elected members are allowed to contribute to the debate, even if they're not part of that committee. I'm not asking for voting rights, and if the chair decides that, then obviously the chair will, if they're getting too enthusiastic, the chair could obviously effectively control that issue.
Yeah, Councillor Valescu, it may not be necessary for an amendment. That's all I'd say. Based on the practice of the Audit Committee at the moment, would you like to comment on that, where elected members in the gallery are invited to make points?
Think that if people are keen to come to a second meeting, an elected members meeting, that they should be allowed to sit around the table, just like the Mayor is able to. I'm not calling for a vote, but just to, if they do want to contribute to the matters at hand, they should have that opportunity to actually contribute
to
the committee.
Some sort of, can I ask staff?
So that would be ex officio. Visiting elector.
That's your ex officio, not my ex officio.
That's right.
Can I ask staff, in the structure of this stuff, is there some one general point where we could do that? We'd have to put it into each committee.
Elected members can attend extra committees in an ex officio, committee meetings in an ex officio capacity.
Elected members, or any elected member, may attend the committee
in an ex officio capacity.
No, because we've had debate about that. I'm trying to avoid that. May attend the committee and participate, but not vote.
Yeah. Which is... Okay.
Well, you're really trying to cause an argument, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No, I just want this to happen. So whatever the wording is, I'm happy...
Arguments are right down the hall next to contributions.
Yes, that's right. So I'm happy if that is taken into account.
Okay, well, and what we'll do is replicate that phrase, may participate but not vote, in each of the four new committees.
Good.
But not audit and finance. Or were you intending that as well?
That already happens. But they're not part, they don't sit at the table as I would like elected members that attend that second month to be able to sit around the table.
It's a much more technical committee in a way that if you did have, I mean, let's imagine not any of the current members, but take the worst elected member you can think of from the past council. Don't name them, but just hold that the thought in your mind. And give that person the right to participate in the meetings.
They may be the worst people, but they may actually have a point to offer. So if they're coming to the meeting and they're not being disruptive, and if they are being disruptive, then the chair would have
to... still subject to chairing, that's true. But the problem I have from a drafting point of view is that if you've got five committees and four of them you say... any member may attend this committee and participate but not vote, but you don't put it in the fifth one, it's implied that you can't have participation.
Put something that... what happens now as far as invited by the chair to contribute?
Well, now it's an informal process, but you, by your amendment you are making, or your suggestion, you're making it a formal process.
But only for the new committees. I'm not changing anything for the current one.
But thereby you do change something unintentionally for the audit committee. That's the problem.
Okay.
If I say I want all of the male members of council on my team, that implies I don't want the female members. And I might say, oh yeah, I meant her as well. But by implication, it's not in. So I'm just trying to say, if you do that with four committees, not the fifth, then you're actually changing something unintentionally. You're at least creating the argument, and I wouldn't want to do that. So I think it's all in, or just leave it all out. I'd suggest the members. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, look, I think it just... with all due respect to Councillor Valeskin, I see where his intent is coming from. I think his intent is a good place. I just think it makes it a bit messy when you've got some people, you've got a full group of people sitting around the table. Everyone can speak, but only some people can stick their hands up. You're either elected onto the committee or you're not. You're more than welcome to be in the room, and with good chairing, if you stick your hand up from the gallery, that, as happens with the audit committee, every single audit committee meeting, if there's an elected member in the gallery and they happen to stick their hand up, yeah, they get to speak, but it just feels messy.
Councillor Hutchinson, completely agree, and I think we brought this up when we were planning these committees, that we could have half the council on these alternate committees, and when I put the suggestion out there, it was shot down because it would be like herding cats, and having half the council on effectively each alternate week doesn't work for me.
Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, also completely against the idea. I think the chair is
in control of who speaks, who doesn't speak, and the people who are elected into the committee are the people that are speaking and voting, and the other people are really bystanders and not invited to speak by the chair.
Okay, so I think where we're at, Councillor Blesko, is that it shouldn't go in the motion as drafted, but you can always move that as an amendment, but I see a bit of resistance to it, that's all I can say.
Main thing for me is that people taking the time and they want to come to another committee, I don't think they should be denied the opportunity to make that point, because we are looking at a breadth of different types of issues. Whilst it's great to concentrate in one area and focus our attention, if we feel we need to contribute or wish to contribute in another area, then I don't think that contribution should be denied.
Councillor, I'll just say that this can all be revisited. If we find that people are being frozen out, then we can do something with that. But we've actually got established practice that says it's not a problem. So maybe we just let it evolve. If it is a problem, we can deal with it. I mean, I fully understand where you're coming from to encourage that participation, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. Well, several members don't think it's going to be a problem. So going around the table, Councillor Appleby. Councillor Gard.
Yes, just, Your Worship, on the Strategic Issues Committee, I'm not sure how the nomenclature actually evolved, but the Strategic Directions Committee implies active strategic planning, and Strategic Issues implies reactive. I would greatly favour the term Strategic Planning Committee, which governs the lot. Alternatively, Strategic Management Committee. But unless the intention is to leave out directions in order to tackle issues or to, or formally the Directions Committee didn't involve external issues, I would certainly want it more generalised than that in order to explain its functionality. And the other point under that banner was under that heading was in the third dot point. I think if we were to extend this encapsulate facilities with service, so we actually say providing advice to council on the extent or levels of service and facilities required, because they're the two main things that indeed we talk about. I think facilities are a bit more than service, or a bit less, depending on which way you look at it. So they're the two things. I feel very strongly, though, about the name of the committee being not all-encompassing, and I think the intent is that it should be.
I'll see what other members think, but I just would make the point that we probably want to avoid active words like planning or management, because that starts to get into the administration's role. But it is for the councillors to look at issues and give administration a direction. So, I mean, if the committee recommendations are endorsed by council, it's not actually doing the planning or the managing, but it's giving direction to administration. And I suppose that's why Strategic Directions Committee was originally given that title. So, look, there are different ways of doing it. Call it Strategy Committee. We could still call it Strategic Directions Committee, if that would help.
Personally, if it has to be, if you do feel that there, and I take your point. I mean, to me, it's a matter of which way you look at it from. I see it slightly differently, but I have respect for your view there. I think the main thing is that there is no sense of limitation to what that committee does in relation to strategy in the nomenclature.
I think it's pretty broad. Strategic issues, you couldn't get much broader.
Well, what I'm saying there is that it's more of a reactive term. In other words, we look at the strategic issues rather than putting the other hat on and saying, well, look, notwithstanding all of the external environment and even internal environment, where would we like to be going? And that's more of a like than a...
Oh, look, if you want to be adventurous, committee of the future.
Yeah.
I want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Other members? Thoughts? Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I take Tim's point that issues make dealing with problems and strategy committees are still actively.
Okay. Strategy committee is, yeah, sounds good. Professional sounding title. Okay, well, how about that as a
compromise? Happy.
Yeah,
and not forgetting the facilities in the last dot point. I think we should.
Sure, got that?
Ignore that.
Yep, thank you. Councillor Crossland. Okay, well now, fortuitously, I had asked Mr. Whitbread to come and talk to us at 9 o'clock about a certain confidential matter, so if he's able to wait a few minutes longer, we may be able to... we have to resume our standing orders, but then can we deal with subsequent matters without adjourning? Just do it in a different order? We do need to adjourn. Okay. So we're looking for resumption of standing orders. Move to Councillor Valescu. Seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. And then, because staff need a little bit of time to type up appropriate motions, I'd ask that the... we haven't had the motion, but that the... where are we? That the Council Committee's Terms of Reference item lay on the table. Is it? No? It hasn't done. We don't even have to deal with it, do we? Because we've been outside of standing orders. Well, it doesn't really matter. Well, we can say that lay on the table and just bring it back. Adjourned until further notice. Well, but we don't know when we want to bring them back. Well, I was actually hoping to deal with code of practice procedures at meetings as well. Can I just ask members for an indication of who wishes to speak on the code of practice procedures and meetings item when we get there. Okay, well, it may be that we can deal with that fairly quickly. Well, we want to bring confidential forward anyway. It's just getting tied up in procedural knots, I'm afraid.
Your Worship, can't we adopt that previous motion based on the discussion we have? Do we need to wait? I don't see what the...
Well, if we look at the motions, as long as members understand that the appendices referred to in the motions are those which have been presented and amended according to our informal discussion. What? Well, if there's any doubt about it in the future, we've got the audio. So on that basis, the appendices are in the ether at the moment, but I'm happy to take a motion.
I'll move that way.
Moving as... This is including Councillor Telfer's wording as to paragraph 10. Moved Councillor Hutchinson. Any discussion? Did you wish to speak with Councillor Hutchinson?
No. Do we need to add a point in relation to the amended appendices? Have we got that? Yep, okay, an amendment on the discussion. Yep, thank you.
That's good. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Any discussion? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by majority. So if you could bear with us, those in the gallery, we'll just press on a little bit further. The Code of Practice and Procedures at Meetings on page 98 of the agenda. The Council's had a lot of informal discussion around these points, but of course people are free to discuss and amend as they wish, looking for someone to move. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak? Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak?
I'm putting these forward and happy to put these forward. There's a lot of detail in there. I think still we have some document that's coming forward on codes of behaviour that will be useful. We're amending that, so that will act as a corollary, that update of that prior material that we had. I think that's important as well. So I'm pleased that this is happening.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Any speakers against the motion? Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, as flagged, I did want to speak on this. Look, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. I've touched on it earlier tonight, and that is the opportunity during the meeting that elected members have the opportunity to present to the council briefly what's happened in their ward. It's been the practice ever since I've been here that we have that. Not everybody elects to contribute. Some might one week, not the next. Unfortunately, I don't think... I can see a shift away from the elected members in this place where, you know, there's always an excuse as to why we don't have an opportunity to have questions without notice, why we don't have an opportunity to have motions without notice, and now, the more recent one is, we don't have time for you to present to us what you've actually had engaged in your community. And I think that's a shame. That's it.
Councillor Blescu.
Wondering whether that could be moved as an amendment for...
Well, that's up to Councillor Cole. I'll give Councillor the opportunity, or you have the opportunity. Otherwise, we'll move on.
Well, I'm happy to move that that's still kept, that people still have the opportunity. If it becomes a problem that's taken too much time, Council can revisit it.
Okay. Have we got that in writing, or can we come up with some wording? Where would we put that in the meeting rules? So it requires some discussion. For example, is it as a matter of right?
Mayor, it's there right now. Until we actually pass this motion, it's still there. It hasn't been taken away.
Can you refer me to it in the current wording?
Well, if you go back to every agenda of this council, it was there. And all of a sudden it disappeared, like tonight. But, you know, it's been there ever since I've been on this council. I do concede that I have heard some reports about the football score at Morphville Park Sporting
okay.
Club.
Councillor Hull, we do have wording. We found the wording. To the effect that elected members would have the right to give a verbal report to council on the fourth Tuesday of each month. So, I'm in the hands of the council.
Well, I'm happy to move that.
amendment moved by Councillor Blescu.
Yeah.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard. It'll only add about another half hour to council meetings, that's not a problem. Any other speakers in relation to the amendment? You haven't already spoken in the debate. There being no other speakers, Councillor.
That relates to page 99, discussion, fourth dot point, which would need changing. It says the verbal report from council meetings has been deleted and only a written report will be accepted. So that would need amendment in the actual report, not in the motion. But page 99, discussion, fourth dot point.
Well, that's in the discussion. If the amendment is carried, it'll be dropped into the procedures at an appropriate place. It was 1.1 in the old procedures. So don't worry about what the report says, but thanks for recognising that. Councillor Crossland.
Quick question. The written reports, do they appear in the minutes? If a councillor...
Yes. So I think time's up, Councillor Crossland. Very well. I'll put the amendment. This is to continue elected member verbal reports on the fourth Tuesday of each month. All those in favour, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All those against? That is lost by majority. Division is called by Councillor Blescu. All those in favour of the
point
amendment.
Of order. I don't think you can call a division on an amendment.
You can't. I uphold the point of order. You can't uphold a you can't call a division on a point of order. So the amendment is lost. That's the ruling of the chair.
Just a clarification, Your Worship.
Clarification, Councillor Blescu.
For people that are we going to say who voted who? Are we doing that now?
You can tell the journalist after the event, Councillor Blescu. That's the remedy. So, unless there are any other speakers, I'll go to the substantive motion. Did the mover wish to speak in reply? I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? It requires a two-thirds majority. Two-thirds majority not achieved. The motion is lost. Okay. We do have Mr. Whitbread in the room, and members may wish to bring forward the confidential item so that we can address that, take advantage of his presence. It's up to you. Looking for a motion, or shall I just call on the item of business? Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that? Okay, with the leave of the meeting, can I just call on the one confidential item that we have? Any objection? There being no objection, we go to the matter addressing the Cove Civic Centre, can I say that? I note that there is a motion drafted for us to have the meeting conducted in confidence, and certainly there do seem to be some reasons to debate the matter in confidence since there are financial issues involved, etc. Moved, Councillor Westwood. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously, I think. So, other than the named people, I'm afraid we must ask people to leave the meeting, and I should think will be at least half hour. And can someone from governance just check that everybody is in and out who should be?